Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Well, we're going to fly through a little teaching for you. And it's been good. How many have been blessed already? Just a little bit? That's good. He's good. I tell you, just soak it in right now. There's a rich demonstration of God. Look at that. With all my heart. Right there. Good stuff. Well, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. Father, we thank you for moms. We thank you for the incredible blessing that they are to us. We thank you that you created moms. You, the whole purpose for moms and everything, it's all found in you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Command your richest blessing on each one now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now, there's an African proverb. I had to look it up. I know Hillary Clinton has used it in her book, but the African proverb says it takes a village to raise a child. And that's an interesting phrase, you know, but I get a little troubled by that because I look at the way the village out there is kind of changing. And sometimes I don't like the influence the village is making on kids today and things like that. So I think it also takes a village to make an idiot. Anyways, I just thought I'd throw that out there. But you know, I really believe the most important thing in a person's life is God himself, but I really think God was really wise when he created moms, and I'm grateful for my mom. My mom led me to Jesus. I was all scared one night at church because they were talking about, you know, the end of the world and things blowing up, and that's when they used to show those movies about the late great planet Earth and, you know, people who missed the rapture, and they had to start eating their arms and stuff, and it got all really messy, and the zombie apocalypse, it was kind of like that. And so that would terrify any kid, so I got scared into heaven. Took me a long time to figure out that God accepted me and he loved me. I just didn't want to be a part of the zombie apocalypse. That was pretty much. But anyway, I was disturbed by it. My mom, she knelt down with me, and she said, "Jesus loves you, Carl. You'll never have to experience any of those things at all, because the wrath of God was poured out on his son so that he can accept you." And so I accepted that he accepted me, and I believe that every day of my life. But you know what? That was my mom. Not an awesome thing. I think it's the most wonderful thing in the world when you can lead your children to Jesus. And I think that that's the most important thing, that if we do have the village and the village is raising or shaping, I do believe that you need to be raised in community. I think community is very, very important. It's even the puppy dog we have. We socialize him. We put him in communities with other dogs to get him socialized and accustomed to other things, you know. But you know, it's great that you as parents, you've got to make sure that you are choosing and you are modeling and you are shaping the worldview of your kids. Amen. You know, I'm a third generation preacher, and I was in Nova Scotia a few weeks ago, and I'm always honored to be places where my father and my grandfather ministered and preached, and I go see people who knew them, and when they see me, and I ministered there to the leaders and talked to them about our national vision and who we are as a people. And one fellow was in his 70s there. He stood up and he said, "I knew your grandfather and I knew your father." And he said, "And I see the same passion in you that I saw in them." And I went, "Well, praise God. You know, that's wonderful." And I'm honored by that because, you know, I have high respect for my grandfather and my dad and what they did for the kingdom. But it's a wonderful thing, and it should be a wonderful thing for my mom. It should be a wonderful thing to know that the faith that was in you is living and active in your children. And that's a good thing, and we want to see that. And I'm glad to see the faith that's in us is living and active in our children, and we should want that. And you know, you need to raise your kids. We want to look at 2 Timothy 1:5. Going to look at three versions of it. 2 Timothy 1:5. He says, Paul said, he's praying about Timothy and thinking about Timothy, obviously writing a letter to Timothy. But he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Unfeigned means it's the word hypocrisy with non in front of it. It's two words. It's a compound word. You take the word hypocrisy and then you put a no in front of it. No hypocrisy. No phoniness. No pretense. It literally is somebody who's an actor at the theater. There's no acting in you. It's all real. It's all genuine. It's all the real deal. And he's saying your faith is genuine. Your faith is real. There's no fakeness about your faith. You have the real deal. So he said, I think about your unfeigned faith that is in you. It's the same faith which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that it is also in you. 2 Timothy 1:5 in the New International Version. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Sincere, we get that word from two words meaning without and wax. Without wax. Something is sinicere. And sinicere is something that they used about sculptures. You don't have to turn this one up. I'll just put it closer rather than you turning it up, because if you do that, then it'll get really loud, or else I'll have to hold it below my belly button. And then that would be hard. But sinicere means without wax. If you had a sculpture and there was a flaw in it, you could fill that flaw with wax and it could look like it's genuine. So they would fill things with wax. And you know what? Sometimes you run into people and they're full of wax. And you find out they're full of wax when the fire comes because it all melts. And you find out, ooh, kind of ugly. You pretend you're not real. But this is, he's saying, you're without wax. There's no fakeness in you. There's no phoniness in you. There's no veneer or no cover. Aren't you glad to be around people where there's no veneer, there's no phoniness, they have a genuine faith, it's the real deal, and you're not walking around with phony smiles and pretense, because then when it gets hot, all of a sudden you find out, whoa, that's actually ugly. Okay, sincere faith that lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it now lives in you. Then from the New Living Translation, the same verse, it says, I remember your genuine faith. Your genuine faith. I love that. It says your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled. The faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that that same faith continues strong in you. I know my grandmother prayed for me every day. I know my mother still prays for me every day. I love it when I go to Ruth and Percy's and visit them, and they tell me, we pray for you every morning when we do our devotions. I'm like, man, it's so good to have more moms than one. It's good to have people that you know are praying for you, and you experience their faith, and you experience that you can stand on. Those prayers are tangible. A couple of quotes for you. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said, men are what their mothers make them. Men are what their mothers make them. That's a pretty strong statement. I know it's not scripture. It's just Ralph Waldo Emerson, but that's a pretty strong statement. D.L. Moody, great Bible teacher, he said, all I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother. That's a strong statement too, isn't it? Huh? Napoleon. Let France have good mothers and she will have good sons. Deep stuff right there. This was a note from school about Thomas Edison. Your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him. Mrs. Edison said, you don't understand him. I'll teach him myself. You know, my son went to Aberdeen for JK and Senior K, and then we wanted to throw him into French immersion. So he was in English school for, 2 years, and they were all in JK doing French immersion, all that stuff. We thought, we'll throw him into French immersion at grade one. He'll be behind the other kids, but he's smart. He'll catch up and all those things. So Dylan jumped into grade one in French immersion, but he wasn't picking up the French. The teacher realized that Dylan picks up what he sees the other kids do. And one day she said, Dylan, ferme la porte. And he said, oui, oui. He said, no, ferme la porte. He went, oui, oui. But if she told the kids all to do something, Dylan would just follow what the other kids were doing. And so she finally said, I don't think he's actually catching on to the French. I said, you know what, we're going to pull him back and throw him into the English school. So we threw him back into an English school. So he'd been learning French all this time and doing his verbs in French and all this stuff. And now, bam, he's back in English school. His first test, like first week in English school, he does this little test, this comprehension thing. And he brought this test home, and it was out of 20, and it had these big red X's all the way down. Dylan only got one right out of 20. And it had all these big red X's on it. And I was furious, not with Dylan, with the teacher. Because I took the test and I photocopied it, took all the red X's off it. I sat down and explained to Dylan what he was expected to do. I gave it back to him. He did the test, having explained it to him, and he did it again, and he got 19 out of 20. So then I made an appointment with the teacher, went back and saw the teacher, and I showed her what she did. She says, yes, that was your son's work. I said, that's not my son's work. That's your work. You tested my son based on your ability to instruct him. I took the same test, explained it to my son, and let him do it. And here's the one that he did after he was instructed by me. I said, I don't have large expectations of you, but this I will tell you. Never, ever send home a piece of paper with that many red X's on it again. Do you understand me? I'll take responsibility for my child's education, but you don't you try to destroy his hopes and his futures with your big red pen, you big ninny with an inability to teach. So that was pleasant. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out because apparently Thomas Edison was a genius. And anyway, Thomas Edison, what did he say? My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. Spanish proverb, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of priest. What's this Sunday school doing for my children? Not a lot. We're throwing some things out. We're doing the best we can in that little brief time we have them. But you know what? You have them a lot more than we do. And you know what? I love it. A pound of mother. Or an ounce of mother's worth a pound of priest. Amen. Abraham Lincoln, he said, I remember my mother's prayers and they've always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. Theodore Hesburgh, he said, and this is good. And I've said this many times to men as I've talked to them. I said, listen, he says this, the most important thing a father can do for his children is love their mother. It's the most amazing thing for my kids when they see that I love their mom. It brings a strength to them. It brings a confidence to them. It brings a security to them when they know dad is nuts about mom. Doesn't take the garbage out still, but he's nuts about mom. Amen. Then to bring it into kind of some, current culture for you folks, Leonardo DiCaprio. My mother is a working miracle. Oh, let me go back one. I just missed one that I think is really important. You ready? Milton Berle. This is really cool. Milton Berle. How many remember Milton Berle? Milton Berle was awesome. Amen. But Milton Berle, he was a great comedian. He said, if evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands? I mean, that is so good. I mean, that's awesome. End of argument. I mean, come on. That's just so good right there. Leonardo DiCaprio, my mother is a walking miracle. Alicia Keys, come on. My mom is definitely my rock. Notice they're getting a bit shallower there. But anyways, let me give you one more. This one I really love. You can't just turn this off. I'm a mother. It's by Cheryl Thomas. One day we were praying about the kids, and I'm praying, and I'm going, honey, stop crying. We're trying to pray. She says, I can't turn this off. I'm a mother. I'm like, just chill for a minute. We're trying to pray. My God, I'm a mother. There's times, with the kids, she's telling them about stuff and things. They're going, Mom, chill. I can't turn this off. I'm a mother. Thank you, Cheryl. That was awesome right there. Isn't that right? You're touched even right now, aren't you? I can just see it. Oh, that's awesome. That's good. All right. I want to give you a mom's dictionary. We're flying really fast. Mom's dictionary. A mother's dictionary. This is a dictionary written by mothers. A dumb waiter. A dumb waiter is one who asks if the kids would care to order dessert. That's a dumb waiter. In a mom's dictionary, family planning is the art of spacing your children the proper distance apart to keep you on the edge of financial disaster. And that one was written by Sarah Matheson. So. Feedback is the inevitable result when your baby doesn't appreciate strained carrots. Feedback. All right, so. Full name is what you call your child when you're mad at him. All right, full name. Grandparents, the people who think your children are wonderful. Amen. Even though they keep on telling you, you're not raising them right. It's a contradiction, isn't it? Hearsay, what toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word. Hearsay. Where'd you hear that from? Okay. Anyways, I had to explain that to you. Independent, how we want our children to be as long as they are doing what we say. But our kids, they're buying a house and they want to do things in the house. Joe keeps on telling them what they should do, so, I'm saying, honey, our parents probably thought we were nuts when we bought the houses we bought, did things we did, and, you got to let these kids enjoy the journey, amen, even though they should pay attention. Okay, so, ow! Al is the first word spoken by children with other siblings. All right. Puddle is a small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. All right. Sterilize is what you do with your first baby's pacifier by boiling it with your last baby's pacifier. But go, that's good enough. Top bunk is where you should never put a child wearing a Superman pajama. All right. 2-minute warning is when the baby's face turns red and begins to make funny sounding grunting noises. That's the 2-minute warning. All right. Who done it? Who done it? None of the kids in this house done it. Okay, that's it for that. We'll toss that one out, but that was good. Amen. All right, back to Timothy. Let's get back to Timothy. Back to Timothy. Timothy, in Acts 16:1, it says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. He was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed." A Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So here's Timothy. Timothy really was born into a family that probably went through a lot of difficulty in their day. Because you have to understand, Jewish people marrying Greek people, that wasn't terribly acceptable. And I'm sure with Greek people and Jewish people, really, they were looking at a situation where we got a mixed marriage. We got a situation that's probably a bit difficult. But what I love about this is a Jewish woman, it doesn't say a Jewish woman who was devoutly obeying the law. It says this was a Jewish woman who believed. Say believed. Believed. You know, here's somebody who was a Jewish person who'd married a Greek person who's probably already experiencing a lot of, you know, being an outcast with the Jewish society. But here was somebody who heard the good news about Jesus Christ. And here was a Jewish woman who believed. Say believed. She believed. She believed. His father was Greek, but she was a Jewish woman who believed. 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, "And from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You know, something I see that's wonderful about Timothy, do you know that only two people who traveled with Paul were actually Jewish? Only two. And Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. He was sent to the Gentiles. And so many of the Jewish people at that time still couldn't get their head around that God wanted to redeem the Gentiles. But you see, Timothy was brought up in this home where some believe that she might have been a single mother, or the Greek father may have died or passed away, but he was in this mixed home. He was brought up in a place where it was difficult, but he was brought up in a home where his mother believed. His mother was a believer, and even in difficulty, even in something where it may have been a difficult home, Timothy was raised in a situation where Paul, you know, by the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "I see your faith, a faith that lived in your grandmother, a faith that lived in your mother, and I am now persuaded, I see the evidence that there is faith that lives in you." Isaiah 54:13, it's this verse, it's not actually on the screen, so you don't have to try and find it there, but it says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." All your children shall be taught in the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now that was a lady named Susanna Wesley. That was one of her favorite verses. Susanna Wesley was the father of Charles Wesley and John Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote all kinds of incredible hymns. A lot of my favorite hymns were written by Charles Wesley. One of them, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." I mean, I love that. And then it says, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me?" I mean, he understood and he had a powerful revelation of the grace of God. But Susanna Wesley had 17 children. 17 children. She had 17 children, and it is said that she made time each week to take each of those children, each of the boys and each of the girls, and she personally took time with each of them, and she counseled them in the ways of God. I mean, this was an incredible lady. And I love, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace, Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrow cease, 'tis music to the sinner's ears." It's life, it's health, it's peace. I mean, that is some really good doctrine. That's really good stuff right now for today. You know, there was a French sociologist who studied England during the time of the French Revolution, because much of the same social issues were around in England and throughout Europe as much as in France. But France went through an incredible, difficult, bloody revolution. And when he studied this, when he studied society and studied that whole time, it was a French philosopher and sociologist. He came to one conclusion as to why England was spared that kind of a revolution. And his one conclusion was the preaching and teaching of John Wesley and the people that he raised up. He said that can be the only conclusion was that the words of John Wesley and the ministers that he raised up, the hymns of his brother, that penetrated culture, it penetrated society. And that is the only conclusion I have as not a Christian sociologist, but a French sociologist. He came to the conclusion it was the Wesley brothers who kept a nation from revolution. Amazing. So when you take that back to the context of Susanna Wesley, who bore 17 children and made sure every single day she took time with each of those children, that mother changed a nation. It's amazing the influence that mothers have. I just want to go to Matthew chapter 15, and I'm looking at it. I think I've got the wrong scripture. Let me see. No, I got it. Yeah. Matthew 15, verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. Start reading it with me. Ready? It says, then Jesus went out from there and he departed, and he came to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came to that region and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. Now, he went out of the boundaries. He went out of the physical boundaries of his mandate. He went to Tyre and Sidon. Jesus was sent to Israel, and his ministry was to be to Israel. But you see, it was later on, we see in Jesus' teaching that when I'm done, take this to the ends of the earth. But he was bound because he was sent to minister to the people of Israel. And much of his teaching, you always have to take it through the filter and the context of that. But Jesus is here now. He's in Tyre and Sidon. And one of these people who's a Gentile, she comes up and says, you are the Lord. You are the Messiah. You are the son of David. So here's someone not reared as a Jew and in that understanding or that culture, but she had the knowledge of who he was. And she had a problem. She had an issue, and she wanted something to change for her family. So here's somebody who had faith, and we're talking about living faith, active faith, powerful faith. Said, my daughter is severely demon-possessed, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, get rid of her. Send her away. I mean, we're here on vacation, and this lady is annoying. I mean, she won't leave you alone. Obviously, you're ignoring her, so why don't we just get rid of her? And Jesus did not respond a word. But he answered and said this. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Oh, sorry, look, verse 24. He answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's basically saying, I can't help you. It's outside of the boundaries of what I'm called to do right now. So sorry, but it's kind of like you go to Costco and you don't have a card. Sorry, you can't buy stuff here. You have to have a card. You're not a member. You don't belong to the group that I'm here to give to. These people qualify for my ministry. You're not qualified. You're outside of the boundaries. You're not in the group of people that I get to minister right now. That's kind of a nasty statement when you believe that this person can change your world. But she says, listen, she continues. She presses in and she worships him. She came and worshiped him, said, Lord, help me. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Ouch. Woof, woof. And he said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs get the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I know that. We have a dog who is a crumb master. And the dogs, trust me, they do. They're watching really well. They can find those crumbs really, really quickly. Oh, we were cutting steaks yesterday, and he could smell it. There were these big, lovely steaks hanging on the counter, and his head's getting closer and closer to the top of the counter. I can see him. Look at his head. And I thought, you know, I could just see him. He just wants to just jump up. But anyway, God bless him. But, you know, here she is. You know, she gets creative. Says, even the dogs get the crumbs. Call me a dog. Well, you know what? Dogs qualify for crumbs. Just a crumb. I mean, how amazing is this that she says, even a crumb will do. If I can get a crumb, I'm in for a crumb. Even the crumbs get the bread from off the table. And he said, shut up and get away from me. And that was the end of the story. Boo, that'd be a bad ending, wouldn't it? No, look what he says. And he said, it is, verse 27, and she said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat him. Verse 28, and Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. In fact, that word great is the word megas. The word megas means your faith is literally, this is the person who Jesus commended the most for having the most faith. The centurion had great faith, and that was a great quantity of faith. But megas, this was the kind of faith that was even beyond the centurion. And these guys, it was Gentiles, a centurion and now a Canaanite woman. And he says, your faith is megas. Your faith can't even be measured. You just release some faith. You just exercise some faith that is totally off the chart. but I still can't give you any because you don't have a Costco card. No, look what he said. Your faith is off the chart. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is a day really to loose incredible faith. I love the songs we've been singing, everything this morning. It's all about waves. It's all about grace. It's all about walking on the water. It's all about doing the impossible. It's all about putting a demand on God to manifest all that he says he is. And you know, this was a mother who had mega faith. And you know what? You've got situations, whether you're a mother or father, don't have kids, whatever. If you've got a situation where you need a breakthrough, if this woman can get a breakthrough, you can get a breakthrough. I mean, you're the other side of the cross. You're in a place where it's all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Here's somebody who is a whole other side of a dispensation, but she believed that you are the one who's going to change history. And you know what? I can't wait for that. I can't wait till the cross and the resurrection. I can't wait till the dispensation shifts and it gets to come to the Gentiles. I need a breakthrough today. And I know you're telling me it's not my time yet. And I know you're telling me you're restricted by the limitation of your ministry. But I'm going to put a demand. I'm going to step out of this. I'm going to step beyond any limitation or border. I'm going to step into eternity. And I'm going to pull a miracle for my daughter because I love her that much. And I know that if you are who you say you are, you can't resist that kind of faith. Amen. I'm loving that people are getting healed. It's documented and it's verified and it's going to accelerate in an incredible way. I tell you, from this point on, in Jesus' name, I loose faith that pulls things right now out of the heavenly realm where we see healing and abundance of revelation like we've never known. And we see this place filled with people that know what it is to serve a God who to whom nothing is impossible because he desires right now. He is the Son of David. He is the Lord my God. He is the lover of my soul. And nothing is too hard for him. And I believe that. Now, really quick, because time's gone, just going to give you some points. How many wants a point? I'm going to give you some points. Are you ready? Points. I love the message. And the message just said, your faith is something else. What you want is what you get. Your faith is something else. What you want is what you get. Now, right here, I'm going to give you the qualities of living faith really fast. You ready? There they are. Number one, passionate. Number two, knowledgeable. Number three, resilient. Number four, breakthrough. Number five, it's rewarded. Hallelujah. Amen. Number one, it's passionate. You didn't think you were going to get it with that. Number one, it's passionate. I mean, she cried out, have mercy on me. She cried out, you got to get passionate about this. Come on, you need a breakthrough. Well, I tried, you know, I tried to press in, but he called me a dog, so I left. No, it was passionate, and I love this because it was knowledgeable. It was knowledgeable. Here was someone who's a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician woman, and yet she knew who he was, and she knew that I got a problem that he can fix, and I know who you are. I know what you've promised, and I know I have knowledge right now about this. I got revelation right now, and I'm going to get something from you today. Do you have knowledge of who he is? Do you have knowledge of what he's done? Do you have knowledge that you've been brought in union with him? Do you have knowledge that nothing is too hard for him? You got to be passionate, you got to have knowledge, and then you got to be resilient. You know, sometimes it don't happen, boom, bang, right away, pow, immediate. But you know, it never, ever stops. If there's obstacles, if you got to press through, if you got to step in a little bit, if you got to dip seven times in the Jordan, if you got to put mud in your eye and go wash in a pool, you got to be resilient. Whatever God says, just do it. I'm telling you, God wants to give you a breakthrough today. So you got to be passionate. You got to be knowledgeable. You got to be resilient. Number four, you got to be a breakthrough person. I love this. He said, I'd like to, honestly, and I am all that you said I am. And I appreciate your zeal and your passion, but I can't do that for you today. But she got creative. She stepped right out there and said, even the dogs get crumbs. You got to be willing to push right through. I mean, this wasn't just a no. This was Jesus himself said, not today. And I have real reasons why it's not today. And she said, I don't care. I want a breakthrough. And I'm going to put a demand on your very nature. And I'm going to pull it right now out of eternity. Well, God doesn't like people like that, does he? He loves them. He loves them. He loves people that put a demand on his goodness. He loves people who do that because when his goodness is put a demand on, that's where you get to see his glory. Remember Mary, a wonderful mother? A mother who said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's the greatest Mother's Day advice right there. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And he says, woman, it's not my time. And he said, that's nice. She said, that's nice. That's nice. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And she tugged and pulled out of eternity a miracle where Jesus was saying, Mom, it's not time. It's not my time. I can't do this right now. It's not my time. Time, shmime, whatever. Just get her done. Or sometimes you get to press through. And everywhere where you see that people did that, they got breakthrough. Last one is rewarded. That day, immediately, right now, their daughter was healed. Just going to read that verse one more time. You ready? Here it is. 2 Timothy 1:5. Listen now. I love this. This is so awesome about Timothy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which lived in. It lived in. It was genuine. It was real. And it was alive. It was a living faith that was in your grandmother. It was a living faith in your mother. And I am persuaded, and I see the evidence now, that this is a living faith. Amen, Pastor. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going to see incredible breakthroughs. It's time, moms, be ridiculous about your kids. Don't slacken your grip. Don't say, oh, well, did my best. I tell you, rip through. Keep praying. Keep believing. It's going to come. I mean, the Word of God says that you're going to see them come. You're going to see restoration. You're going to see return. You're going to, don't say, oh, well, we did our best. Okay. You're going to see it and hang on and be persistent and say, I'm not going to rest until I see the promise manifest over my children and my children's children. Amen. Come on, stand up with me. Come on, stand up with me. I just want to pray for you right now. It's just going to have every head bowed and every eye closed, okay? Nobody's looking around because it's just you and God. I just want you to look in his face. And can I tell you something right now? Listen to me. He totally accepts you. He just totally accepts you. He made his own personal choice to completely, totally accept you. It's not even about you accepting him. You just got to believe that he accepts you, or accept that he accepts you. But he does. He accepts you. Here's the good news. You ready? Here's the gospel. God is nuts about you. He sent his son. He died for you so that he can tell you right now, I completely accept you. I accept you. You know, you go other places, you know, like, oh, sorry, you're not accepted. You know, I tried out for the basketball team. You didn't make it. You know, you applied for Western University. Sorry, we couldn't accept you. Here's the good news of the kingdom. He accepts you. You're all accepted. That is the good news of the kingdom, is accepted. Everyone. But you know what? All you got to do is say, I believe that. I believe that. Because you know what it says? Those who believe, they're the ones who inherit eternal life. Believers. All you got to do, what must I do? Only believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe it's all done? Do you believe? Do you believe right now that you can press in and put a demand on him? Do you believe? Now just listen to me. Just anyone here who you may be here today and you've never really accepted that he accepts you. You've never really fully believed that God, the holy God, mighty God, that God, he's nuts about you. He accepts you. He totally accepts you. Maybe you've never really thought of that, but you want to believe that today. You've never fully embraced that before, but today you want to embrace that. Listen now, if that's you, I want you to do something very simple. I just want you, nobody else looking around, so it's just you. Just you and me. I'm looking. But if that's you and you want to accept him, would you do something for me? You're just going to go 1, 2, 3 at 3. Just put up your hand. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Just put up your hand and say, I believe he accepts me. I want to believe that today. Maybe you're doing that for the very first time. Just put it up high enough where I can see it. Back there, we got over here. Anyone else? Maybe for the first time you're saying, I accept that he accepts me. I believe in him right now. Jesus. Come on, everybody, come on, pray. We're going to pray together. You ready? 1, 2, 3. You ready? Lord Jesus, thank you. For what you did. You died for me. You paid every price for my freedom. You're my redeemer. I put a demand now on your acceptance. I believe that you're my Lord and Savior. I believe my sins are forgiven. And I believe that I'm born into your family right now. in Jesus' name. Fill me now with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.